You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. And in the light of being Thanksgiving Eve, it seems appropriate to touch on that subject. So, in the light of that, looking, if I can, to start us off, in 2 Corinthians and chapter 9, you will notice, please, in verse 14, in the light of the context and all of that. In fact, I'll read over, if I can, verse 8 to get to verse 14. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to a Jew, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God is able to make all grace abound. Then slide over as you're going along to verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. So they're looking. Here's the Thessalonians, the Corinthians, etc. And the believing heart appreciating the people that are saved. Now, so the grace of God, they're looking at that. And how do you receive the grace of God? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, John 1 and 14, is full of grace and truth. God demonstrates His grace in His wonderful person, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is grace? Grace is the inclination towards, being favorable towards, being gracious towards somebody, something. Giving oneself towards grace. God gave Himself to each human being in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. God gave Himself. That's called grace. God gives Himself in the wonderful grace of God. Now, hang on to that. And that's called the inclination. That's God giving. And that's called grace. Now, so, when I slide to the next verse, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And you're going to recall, as you would, in the word thanks is the same word as the word grace up above. So, what is it? Well, grace is the inclination of God giving Himself in Christ. Grace, God giving Himself, the giver. We human beings that would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior are the receivers. We receive what? We receive grace. How do we receive grace? In the wonderful person of Jesus Christ, whom we receive as our Savior and Lord. And we receive grace. We receive it. The unspeakable, indescribable, unutterable, beyond any explanation or understanding. Grace. The wonderful person of Christ. Grace is the giving, God's giving, and thanksgiving is grace received. Grace received responds, did we receive Christ as our Savior? Yes. How do we say that? Thank you. When you think of the giving, grace, receiving, what is God looking for? Gratitude. Grace gives to us, and gratitude responds to what? To the grace God has given. Same word. Grace. Thanksgiving. Responding to the grace. Responding to God in Christ Jesus. Now, having said that, now taking a look, going back in the light of thanksgiving and thanks. You won't find in your Bible the word thanks or thanksgiving or any such thing in Genesis 6. Where's the thanksgiving? None. Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. Where's the thanksgiving? None. I won't find any thanksgiving until I come to... Is there any thanksgiving in Egypt? 400 years. No thanksgiving in Egypt. Where do I have to go? I've got to cross the Red Sea to go to Mount Sinai. And there we will begin Leviticus chapter 7. Now, you don't have to turn there, but that's where you're going to begin. You don't begin up till then, no thanksgiving. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, may I pick up, please, if I can, and I'll pick up our little word, grace, thanks. Now, I'm going to go to verse 20. All of it's wonderful. Well, I know you've read this 5,000 times. We need to understand it deeply in our heart. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest, made public, plain, clear, simple, inside the heart of each human being that is born. For God, the reason, God has showed it unto them. So God didn't depend, count on any human being. Every human being that he creates, he lets them know he's the creator. In the middle of the Iceland, in the middle of the Sahara Desert, doesn't make any difference where you're born. Doesn't make any difference, China, India, America, wherever you're born. God's going to make that known. Middle of communism, socialism, God makes it known. Now, having said that, I need that, because God's holding us responsible. Verse 20, that the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How is that so? Being understood by the things that are made, God has made everything, First John 1:3. All things are made, created by him. So every flower, bug, bird, beads, beast, everything, they're all made by him. In verse 20, that clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power, his wonderful, wonderful ability, and his Godhead, his wonderful deity, so that they are without excuse. So you can't ever say, no matter what part of the world you live in, they all have bugs, flowers, trees, everything. Doesn't matter where you're born. There's something alive to see, to smell, to eat, to whatever. Now, and therefore, they are without excuse. Now, verse 21, in the light of that, because that when they knew God, they glorified not him not as God, neither were thankful, there's your word. Where's the thanksgiving? Where is the thanksgiving? Thanksgiving for what? God lets himself know, be known. And the human heart is to respond. Let me keep going. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified not as God, but neither were thankful, but became vain in their mind, their heart, imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. So they chose not to be thankful. Wow. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now what did they do? What did they become fools over? Verse 20, how did they become fools? Remember, God makes himself known. Verse 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. They made the things that they could see, sun, moon, stars, birds, bugs, kangaroos. They made them the gods. They made them what they're going to respond to, not the invisible God who created them. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature, creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So what did they do? God makes himself known. The little heart knows. And the little heart, instead of going with it, God going to help them, turns away. Adult world, my mother and father don't do that. My friends and other people don't do that. Why should I do that? And what happened? What happened? Over, if I can, verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Just a little, the little clause, God also gave them up. Sliding down to verse 26, if I can. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. God gave them up. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, not approving mind, won't give God any credit, mind, to do those things which are not convenient or fit or proper, to do things that were wrong. God gave them up, and God gave them up, and God gave them up. Over now, because I'm asking myself, where is the thanksgiving? And why should there be thanksgiving? Because God says he's God, and then people turn around and deny him being God. They reject him being God. So where's the thanksgiving? And we go through, we did Genesis 6 and sliding all the way along. Where's thanksgiving? Where's thank you? Hang on. Now, over to chapter 3. And if I can, in verse 18, this is just quickly to get just a little. Chapter 3, verse 18, in the whole section context. There is no fear of God before their eyes. They have no sense of God. Go with me, please, to chapter 2. In chapter 2, may I go to verse 4. Now despise thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God wants you to change. God wants you to turn around. God wants you to honor him. That's what God wants. So in the light of looking at all of that, here we are looking, and we're going to say, well, we're people, they could know. They choose not to know. And in the light of that, they are not going to be wonderfully, wonderfully dependent upon God. They aren't going to look to God, to trust God with all their heart. They just aren't going to do it. And so therefore, they're going to wallow in their wisdom. We read in chapter 1 and verse 23. In their words, in their works, what do humans do? They waste away their own souls. What's missing? Thanksgiving. It's so critical. Why is it critical? Because that's the way you acknowledge God. You acknowledge God as Creator, and he's the Savior. And you have to acknowledge him. Thank you. Thank you. Hang on. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can. So God, you're going to go and honor yourself in a most, most wonderful way. And you're going to do so. So in the process of doing all of that, if I can, to pick up just a little bit in the Old Testament. Psalm 50. Psalm number 50, all over the place. Psalms, the wonderful heart book of the Bible. Psalm 50. And you would recall in Psalm 50 what? Well, without re-getting it again for time's sake, God, what are you saying? Sacrifices are a broken and contrite heart. And God, and looking just to pick it up right off, if I can, oh, in verse 8, you'll catch the flavor of it. I will not reprove thee for the sacrifices or thy burnt offerings in to have been continually before me. In other words, everything that you do, you've done it not very good. Your worship, your hymns, your fasting, all of you, it hasn't been very good. But, just so you know, God said, I'm not counting on any of that. What? Well, what are you counting on? Look at chapter 50 and pick up, please, in verse, not going that far, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, all the birds, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? God said, listen, you aren't going to give me anything that isn't mine. That's what you're not going to do. But there's one thing that you can do. Verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You can say thank you. That you can say. You can have all your ritual and all the rigors and all the crisscrossing and jumping up and down and do whatever you want. You can do all of that. It won't do any good, but you can do it. I'm looking for what? Well, I'm going to offer 10,000 animals. You can do that. That's good. But that isn't what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to acknowledge me rightly, who I am. Not give me something like Allah. We're going to opposite Allah. I'm going to do that and hope somehow that something, somehow will happen. You know, fate will be outworked. Now, so having said that, verse 15, and I call upon and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's what you're going to do. You're going to go and look to me with all your heart. Over to Psalm 118. In Psalm 118, picking up, please. And you will notice David, more than likely David, in the celebrating national holiday, etc. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel, if any nation should know, they should. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron, surely the priesthood's going to know, let the house of Aaron now say that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Well, if they don't, well then, is there a whosoever that believes? Verse 5. Verse 4. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Sliding over to verse 29, all the way to the end. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. God is very, very good. And we need to give thanks because God is God and God is good. What's the opposite of evil? Good. Good. Why did evil? You're going to know the between good and evil. Evil, as we shared recently, again and again, that evil is the absence of God, the absence of good. So evil. We don't want evil. No, we want God. We want good. We just read it in Romans 2 and 4. The goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. I just read it. Okay, now, having said that little bit, so, in the days of Job, you have to turn there, and there was a wonderful, wonderful exercise Job had, and Job was tested in a way that very, 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 very few are ever tested, and Job was tested in an extreme way. And Job never wouldn't sin, wouldn't go against God. And he went through the wonderful exercise and said, God, boy, did I miss out. I never even understood your magnificence and your wonderment. Good job, what'd you say? Thank you. Thank you, God. Was I saying thank you before? Yes. No record of it, but saying it. Saying it. Now, God, thank you. That's Job. David's stuck in the wilderness more than once. King Saul's out to get him, etc., etc., etc. And David, why don't we keep, we read and think of all the things we're doing on the Sunday of Psalm 23 and that. David keeps saying, thank you. I do. Everything wasn't nice, no, but God gets thanks. God gets thanks because God's good. God is good just because he's God. He's a good God. So what he does is always good. That's why Romans 8:28 works. Why? All things work together for what? Good. Why do they work for good? It's God. It's God. Why would he want? God's doing it. It's good. Good. Okay. And here's our Lord, the grand example of all, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, God, going to the cross. And what's he going to do before he goes to the cross? In the upper room, the Passover, he breaks bread. He takes the loaf of bread and breaks it, just like he did for 15,000 or more people, and et cetera, et cetera. Break it, and bow. And he said, thank you. Thank you, God, as he broke the bread, as he took the cup. Thank you, God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Thank you. Thank you. In the midst of trouble and heartache, in the midst of all of those one awesome things that are there. And history is full of believers and looking to God in the thick and thin of it. So God, they're looking to you to outwork your wonderful will in a most wonderful way. And God's going to do that. Now, having said that, here we are looking, and here we come to the pilgrims and the founding of our country, etc. And we come to the founding of our country, and in the process of all of that, they go from England to Holland for so many years, 11 years or whatever. And what are they running? They're trying to get somewhere in the Reformation and all of that turmoil over in Europe and that. They're trying to get somewhere to be able to read the Bible, which has been translated, to be able to read the Bible and believe the Bible and practice the Bible like we're able to do here. And that's what they wanted. And they knew they weren't going to get it over there. So what did they do? Well, they came over, a handful of them, came over here on the ship. And they weren't hunters or wood choppers or builders. They were merchants and businessmen. And they came over and landed and ended up 103, whatever, ended up after first year 50 or whatever. And in the process, wow, they had a very difficult time. God helped them. And he went the second year and had celebrated. But then the third year, they were getting on their feet and doing the best they could in to stay. And God helped them. God helped them in their growing and their hunting and everything. And it's a wonderful thing. God gave them a deer or two running around, you know. And God gave them whatever else, the clams and fish and cod, and God helped them so they could survive. Wow, and here comes the third year. And Governor Bradford gives his proclamation. Now, after this proclamation, we're going to come down through history, and George Washington's going to give a proclamation, and Abe Lincoln's going to give a proclamation. And you have lived around a little bit. And in 1992, in Connecticut, just before that, so it's over 30 years, every year the governor, do you remember it? Gave the proclamation for the state of Connecticut, went to the post office, to buildings to read the wonderful declaration from the governor. It's Thanksgiving Day and we need to thank God. Do you remember that? No. What happened? What happened? Where's the Thanksgiving? Bye-bye. Long gone. Uh-huh. But that's what he used to do. Used to do, be able to read it. Come in, I could read. I'm going to read you, like, they don't have them. I forgot the governor, Light Waker, or one of them, back then. No more. Now, it would be a good thing to suggest to our governor he might do that. Now, I'm going to read you that proclamation, because that's the first one. Inasmuch as the Great Father hath given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, insomuch as he has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, to proclaim that all the pilgrims with your wives and the little ones be gathered together at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12, 3 hours, in the daytime on Thursday, November the 29th, in the year of our Lord, 1623. And since the pilgrims landed on the Plymouth Pilgrim called Pilgrim Rock, there is no there to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings, William Granford, ye governor of ye colony. A first proclamation. Wow. That's what he did. And then you could read Washington's and you could read Lincoln's and all of them. But where's the Thanksgiving? No Thanksgiving. Nope. God, are we surprised about the condition of our world? Where's the Thanksgiving? I didn't say, where's the turkey? I said, where's the Thanksgiving? Where's the Thanksgiving? It's hard to find. Hard to find it. It doesn't mean it isn't there. It's just hard to find. It should be rather easy to find. We're all humans. We're all created. But you know what? Not you guys, of course. People don't want to know God. They don't want to know God. To know God means I got to acknowledge him as God. I don't want to acknowledge him as God. I'm not going to do that. Then I have to acknowledge my condition. And then I may need God to save me. I don't want to have to think about that. So I'm not going to do that. So in the process, we're not going to be thankful, and we've got the conditions that exist. And the conditions are not good, to say the least. We're in a troubled world that is causing trouble and in trouble and is going to get into more trouble. That's where it's going. And a simple answer, where's God? A simple explanation, there's no thanksgiving. They aren't going to acknowledge God. They ain't going to do it. No, sir. I'm not going to do it. No, sir. Wow. So that's where we're at. So God, here we are looking, and in our present state of things, wouldn't you like to think that it could get straightened out? It could. It's pretty, everything's there to nicely straighten it out. But who wants to straighten it out? And if the people that are there don't want to straighten it out, will it get straight? Will it get straight? Oh, no. It'll be the same as all the others. So where are we headed? To the tribulation, ultimately, into the great trouble. Where's Thanksgiving there? You see? So, having said that little bit, and encouraging your heart that way to understand, so you don't get discouraged. It isn't. When God saves you, I don't want to get sidetracked. When God saves you, what does he do? He saves you out of your sin nature. He saves you from the world system. He saves you from the satanic system. He saves you. You're still in the world, but you're not of it anymore. You belong to the world, but you don't belong anymore. You're not part of it. You are an alien. You are a pilgrim. You're not part of the system. But I'm saved and I work at Joe's sweatshop and everything. I do all that. Maybe you do. But if you're saved, you don't belong to the system. You can't belong to the system and be saved. You have to understand that so that you don't keep honoring the system wrongly instead of honoring God and your wonderful relationship to him. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and if again, over if I can, please, in your Bible to pick up another little way to say this. God, we need to be able to say thank you. There's no question about it. So, Philippians, if I can. Philippians, I just will show you, it's all over the place. I'm just going to give you a little bit. You can, as you read your Bible, you're going to catch it yourself. And practice it. Practice it. God said, it's the answer. Thanksgiving. It isn't your intellect or your brains. No. God, is it, what are we going to do about anything? Well, not much. We'd like to do a lot. We'd like to be able to help or say or change or do. But we're so little. What do? We go to the grocery store and eat a little food and go to whatever we do, work and school and home. That's all we do. We aren't doing anything to change anything, it seems. So we do so little. And all the things that we think we'd like to do, you can't. Because the system's in. You aren't in charge of the world system. The devil is. And evil is. You aren't in charge of it. You're saved out of it. But you're in it. It's so discouraging, seemingly, until you remind yourself that God didn't ask you to save the world. He said, I did it. And I didn't ask you to be, he didn't ask you to be God. He didn't ask you to help him. He didn't say he needed you. He said, if you don't get saved, I'm in trouble. He never said that. A God is, they don't need you. Well, God, what's the one thing we can do? A human. We're so limited. The attitude of gratitude, that you can do. That you can do. A huge percentage of your life and your daily incidents and experiences that you experience with people, persons, places, problems are all governed because you can't do most anything in them that even though you think you are. You don't control them. You don't control people. You don't control minds. The humans are all doing what they're doing. And they're going to do it. And so I don't get discouraged. What's the one thing you can do? Attitude. Gratitude. You can say thank you to God. That governs everything you do. Everything you do tomorrow is your attitude of gratitude. And if you don't have that, you're caught in whatever the circumstances are. The turkey blew up in the oven. You know, what can I tell you? Philippians 4:6. Be careful. Stop worrying. Don't worry for anything. Stop it. for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Period. Oh, there's no period. There's no period. What's it say? With thanksgiving. I'm going to pray. It's a serious. Don't even approach me, said God, without thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. That's how you're going to come. Not going to worry. And say thank you so you don't worry. Over, if you would please, to Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. And you will notice, please, if I can, going directly in the light of verse 6. Colossians 2:6. As you have therefore received Jesus Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Going to walk like David, walk, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, etc. Verse 7. Rooted, grounded in him, in Christ, and established in the faith, the body of truth to be believed, the Bible, as you have been taught, that's what we're trying to do, abounding, abounding, overflowing, therein with thanksgiving. We're trying to walk down the corridor of time and the valley of darkness and evil and darkness and everything all around us, within and around us. What are we doing? With thanksgiving. Don't worry. Thank you. You're going to go forward. Go forward in the walk. How are you going to walk? With thanksgiving. Every step of the way. With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the key. What are you acknowledging? You're acknowledging God's grace and God's goodness to you. That's what you're doing. You say, well, I don't do that. Well, then that's your problem. Because you're supposed to do that. In fact, God's going to keep saying it. Somewhere we'll catch it. Well, I don't say thank you very much. Well, no, that's your problem. The way to get free of it, you can't truly say thank you and be unhappy. Do you understand that? The minute you said thank you to God, you just put your hands on the solution. All you did is say thank you genuinely, not just bump it out of your mouth. You say it genuinely. God, thank you for whatever. Do you know, years ago, I probably told you this years ago, and years before that, and when I used to work out in California, I used to do that stuff in the process. And I had my house there in Norwalk, California, etc. And I was alone at that point in history, and alone. And Thanksgiving came, and it was Thanksgiving. And Jeanette didn't show up yet. She wasn't around. So what are we going to do? I sat down at my little table, a small kitchen. I sat at my little table and had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for my Thanksgiving dinner. And that's of all the Thanksgivings, that's the one I remember most. Of all my Thanksgivings, I never forgot it. My little peanut butter sandwich and God. I couldn't have had it better. No matter how I cut the cookie. Now, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 again. Continue in prayer, 4, 2, Colossians. Continue in prayer and watch in the same. What are we doing? We don't want to worry. That's right. And we got to walk. Worry. Thank you. We're going to walk. Thank you. Thank you. And what are we going to do? We're going to keep watching, watching, waiting, watching, waiting. What's going to be the ingredient that keeps us? Thanksgiving. The grace of God. Grace of God received. The great God's thank you. God's doing things. We don't have time to do it in Acts and all of that. That's what they said. God, listen, God gives everyone the water and the rain and the weather. and the everything. And how come conditions are like this in parts of the world? Well, just think about it a little more. What happens? Why is some places so barren? Now, I know the desert and that, but what about a lot of other places? Do you know, if you go back in history, they all had a wonderful opportunity with believers, North Africa and all of them. But they didn't honor God. And you remember we had the film with the showing history, showing it. It went down. They didn't go into the caves and that. They went from the wonderful ability of having everything to the caves and to the jungle. That's what happened. The very opposite happened. And when there was no thanksgiving, God said, the rain, where's the rain? Look at the ground. God, you give it, that's right. But you've rejected me. You got full of idolatry. So there's nothing. Boy, it's hard. Well, you poor dears, hold it. Where's your thanksgiving? Where's your thanksgiving? Well, that isn't our thinking. Well, that's too bad. Now, 1 Thessalonians. You know it. I got to quit. I hope I'm just trying to bug you to get you to say thank you a little more, to see it. First Thessalonians chapter 5, as you would know, the wonderful admonitions and commands to be doing in the present tense. And this here's this one, verse 18. In everything, I got to read that again. In everything. No? Is it the same in yours? Is that everything? Okay. In everything, give thanks. What for? Oh, I don't see anything to give thanks for. It is the will of God for you to give thanks. God didn't ask whether it was good or bad. God's doing what he's doing anyway, like it or not. You're either going to be thankful or you're not. That's all. There isn't a question of that. I'm not going to say, you don't have to say anything. God's going to be good, and God all the time, doing what he does in his grace. This is in everything give thanks. So this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now either you can put your name in there, or you don't have to put your name in there. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning your name. And your name. But I want to thank for. You don't even begin that. You say thank you, period. You learn to do it. When you're in the bathroom, when you're brushing your teeth, you learn to say thank you, thank you, thank you, that your system works and you don't even control it. Thank you. Thank you. And you learn it, and you do it, and you benefit. Oh, I don't. Then you don't. In closing, over if you would, to Exodus and chapter 15. Exodus in chapter 15. Appreciate your patience. Exodus chapter 15. You remember they've crossed the Red Sea and they are in the Sinai Peninsula, heading to Mount Sinai, etc. And they, with all their 2.5 million people, and all their animals and everything, boo, wow, what a crowd. Exodus chapter 15, and verse 22. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah. Why is that? for they were bitter, bitter waters. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, bitter, bitterness, bitterness, bitterness. Now, we're in great need of water, and here comes water, and it's bitter. Now, God, what about you? Verse 25. And he cried, and he cried, Moses, unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cut, cast it into the waters were made sweet. Waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. What about? And not only did he test them, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep these statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For, why not? I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, what are you doing, God? What's the first lesson they had to get among others? Life isn't going to be easy. And there's a lot of bitterness out there. Things aren't pleasant. All things work together for good, but they aren't nice. God, a lot of things are bitter in life, are troubled in life. Things don't go the way you think they should. But God said, you know what? You need to go and look to me. That's why the tree, Christ is crucified on that tree, as it were. The Lord Jesus Christ makes the bitter water sweet. That's what he does. And if you leave Thanksgiving, leave Christ out of your life, it's awful bitter when you're all done. Even though it's pleasant, everything's fun, hold it. That's only for a moment, isn't it? Don't you know it, too, once you live long enough. You say, everything's going to... No, it isn't. It's going to get worse. And if that great reset coming up, if they ever did that, oh, they ever did that dumb thing. You can't see it. Oh, I can't see it. And they're using the virus like a pony, a horse, to bring in the great reset, riding on the virus to get into entrance. Wow. Interesting. Interesting, isn't it? Wow. If you think it's going to be a picnic, you better think twice. Unless you don't mind. I got to quit. In closing, again, do you know in West Africa and other places, there is a taste berry tree. And when you take the fruit of that tree, maraculin is the ingredient. Maraculin is the ingredient, and it's not in just those trees, but elsewhere. When you take the fruit, you fix it, and you taste that fruit, and it goes into, it does something to your tongue. So that if you eat sour, bitter stuff, you'll never taste it, because the taste berry makes everything sweet that you eat. It makes everything sweet that you eat. It coats your tongue. So no matter what lousy taste it is, comparatively, it makes it sweet. Wow. Taste berry. Thanksgiving, your taste berry.